TJ Barry, we have you here, the House sponsor of that bill. So why don't we just jump right in? Why weren't Republicans able to muster up enough votes to get that passed, overridden rather?
Well, you could answer that two ways. One, we did not have the will to override the governor. Or two, the governor did a very good job of explaining a few of the problems that were unintended of 253, and that doubt led to the veto being upheld.
Right. And some of those, the governor pushed some issues on things, the way the bill was written, right? There was some language that appeared to probably be accidental, maybe, at least that's the way it was discussed later. Would you have changed much about how it was written?
Sure. I mean, the three things that the governor really pointed out this summer were the prescription drug portion of this, which was unintended and was a drafting error. Then there was the textbook issue. And then finally, the retroactivity. Those are the three points that he really hammered home. My argument would be, if I fix those three points and put that exact same bill in front of the governor, I think that the outcome would be the same. He would veto it. And we failed this summer to have a true discussion about economic development and how we're going to go about doing that.
Right. Representative Kelly, I know you came out strongly against this bill, too, during the veto session as well. Was it because of, as Representative Barry's talking about, because of those errors, or was it the larger idea, or a little bit of both?
Certainly both. It was my job to shepherd the opposition to the bill on the House floor. I was very unhappy as a 17-year veteran of the legislature with the quality of the legislation. There was a lot of mistakes in it and a lot of expensive mistakes. The retroactivity issue that TJ pointed to is alone perhaps as much as $1 billion. I don't think you can go out there with tax legislation with billion-dollar errors in it and expect a different result. Or at least I hope that you wouldn't get a different result. I hope that legislators would defeat any tax bill with $1 billion error.
Representative Barry, your comment on that?
Sure. From my perspective and when we drafted it, we looked at precedents. And precedents says that tax bills start taking effect going forward from the time that they are passed. So I assumed that that rule would hold true with this tax bill. The governor and the attorney general both disagree because of the unique nature of the marketplace fairness portion of this bill. And so when you're dealing with something new and you're relying on precedents, maybe there was some room for discussion and room to make it better going forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you mentioned, the larger issue here, of course, are those tax cuts. And so do you expect to see, or are you going to be part of something that's going to come up next session? I mean, obviously, this is not a discussion that's going to go away just because this bill was shot down.
I will absolutely be involved in creating other tax cut bills, and I would imagine that the governor will see several. And I would be very surprised if he does not see one in the first month and a half of the session.
So on that discussion, like you said, that you feel like we didn't get this time around, what should we be talking about? What is the discussion about economic reform and that?
Every time, no matter if it's a Democratic bill, Republican bill, whatever the bill, I think that we should always start with the idea of what problem are you trying to address with that language? And the problem that I'm trying to address with tax reform is twofold. One, it hasn't been reformed in almost 100 years. And two, we have to create jobs in the state of Missouri. And how are we going to go about doing that? There are two schools of thought. You can attract businesses into the state and have a really aggressive method to do that, or you can grow the businesses that are here. And I believe the companies that grow here in Missouri are invested, their owners are parts of the community, and their likelihood of leaving is much, much smaller than a company that has been attracted to the state with dollars. The dollars then run out, and then they are saying, what are you going to give me now, or I'm going to move to the next state that gives me money.
Okay. Representative Kelly, what's your reaction to that, the idea that we need to have these economic incentives? And would it be something that you might support ever?
I think that I was in fact part of an effort to pass a $200 million tax decrease that Representative Funderburk and I did on the Marketplace Fairness Bill. The irony of this whole thing is we could have gotten a $200 million tax decrease instead of not getting an $800 million tax decrease. When you go to the extreme, here's where you always end up. The moderate middle of this society has a way of dealing with extremes. This bill was way too extreme and therefore ultimately doesn't make it.